You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this beautiful, glorious, amazing, over-the-top morning. And why is it all those things? Because it is. Because it is this moment, this time, this second. And in never. I mean, really never. Never do I ever fully grasp what that really means. I don't know if I'm capable of doing that. I don't know if I'm capable of really knowing in the fullest, most absolute sense of the word. Am I capable of knowing what that really means? I have no other frame of reference than being human on this earth and having sleepy eyes when I wake up and thinking about things and all these limited, self-limited and limited and culturally limited and earthly limited things. And it's an effort. We have to have books about gratitude. It's an effort to be grateful. I mean, really, really. It's an effort to be grateful. And we have little slogans and cliches, you know, there before the grace of God go I. And, you know, I knew a man, my father used to say this all, and it's good teaching for a kid. But I used to complain about, what was it? I used to complain about my shoes until I saw a man without any feet or something like that. And we would giggle. But we have to be reminded to be grateful. It's like we're these big devouring machines. More, 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 more of what? More of something we don't even know, but I know I want more. I just don't know what it is, but I do want more. It's like, it's one of those things that you could go to an endless confession. And in fact, I probably need to go to confession right now today. I need to find one because seriously, because I'm saying it, and yet I am forever living that, where I have to say, I'm going to make an effort to go outside today because I feel so bad and say, thank you, God. Thank you for this butterfly I'm watching. Thank you for the flower in front of my face. Thank you for the rain that I smell, all the different smells from the rain. Thank you for rosemary. Thank you for basil. Thank you for that crow that just went by. Thank you for the gecko. Thank you for the ant. Thank you for the snail that I'm watching make its little silvery path across my patio. Thank you for the dog who might eat the snail and maybe get sick. Thank you for us being able to get sick and get better and heal and see what it means to heal. Thank you for the sunrise, the sunset. Thank you for all this. Instead, we wake up with an already predetermined no, 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 I don't want to see another wrinkle. No, I don't want to feel my bones creak. No, I don't want to think about my bills. No, I should have done this. Well, no, I'm a failure. No, I'm really not worth anything. And all throughout, we're a very pampered world right now. And we're a very sedentary, pampered world. Everything is like boom, button, boom, button, boom, button. Anything you want, let's just serve it up. Serve it up right now. You can actually serve it up while you're hearing me. You can serve up a million things. You can Pinterest something. You could post something on Facebook. You could log on to porn. You could find the Hail Mary. You could have some soap opera playing in the background. You can be doing your shoes. You can be setting your hair. You can be doing all kinds of things all at the same time. Never before. Never before. You can be you can be logging onto Amazon right now and getting your groceries and your makeup and your books and your rosaries and your underwear all within 5 minutes. I mean, really, how does that happen? We just take it so much for granted. And that's just what I know. And I'm real old school. So we have to learn to be grateful. It just like blows my mind when I say it. It doesn't blow my mind when I live it, because it seems perfectly natural to me to look and see and feel like something's missing, something's not enough. And maybe we are, as the old country song said, looking for love in all the wrong places. And I think we'll voyage there today, looking for love in all the wrong places. And we'll look for light in some of the places we don't expect them. So I'm going to be sharing a few things with you as far as that's concerned. When we look and we look at complaining and we look at all kinds, we have so much that comes into it. I was listening to a priest, and I'll have to look his name up in the break, because I don't remember it. He's actually has many YouTubes. I think he's now deceased. He's wonderful, wonderful. But he knew many languages, and he was relating a story of how in America, I think he was in Australia speaking, or maybe he was in England. But he was talking about, you go to America and you say, hey, how are you? And great. We're great. I'm great. I'm totally great. Everything's great. It's great. Or better than I expected. Better than I deserve. It's great. That's kind of the American cultural phrase, because we've had this history. And when I say we weren't we until we all got here somehow, right? We weren't we. We didn't just spawn here for thousands and thousands of years becoming awesome and being awesome. We everybody got here from somewhere, and somewhere that wasn't very pleasant most often, or they wanted to get more. Very, very short period of time. Very short period of time. Heard a Chinese gentleman one time, a young Chinese dissident, say, you in the United States think 50 years is a long time. You have no concept how our perspective. You have no concept that we wait. We can wait forever. 50 years to you is a long time. You're only 200 years old. We're thousands of years old. So 1,000 years means nothing. It's a frame of reference. When you're real tiny, a closet can look enormous. Have you ever gone? I know you have. You've gone back to places that you've visited before that just seem like they were never ending. There's a beautiful, in the Japanese gardens in San Francisco, there's a beautiful bridge that goes over a little babbling creek right down in downtown near Chinatown. I don't remember where it is exactly, but it's a beautiful Japanese garden. You can have tea in their little pavilions. My brother and I used to just have so much fun, and it seemed like we were scaling a mountain that you cannot even believe. We couldn't even understand how we could get our feet to stay, you know, on this really tall bridge that just seemed insanely high. And it was just the biggest delight in the world for us to go to Chinatown and get to that place. And I would drink tea with sugar, jasmine tea. And we came all the way from Southern California so my parents could go to the Hungry Eye or some place that later became so famous. But that was such a delight, such a treat. But my perspective was that this was the biggest, the most amazing, the most weirdest piece of architecture that had ever been built. And years and years and years and years later, when I went back, I think it was when the first time I was, after I'd been away for a while, and I went back and I just couldn't wait to see this. And I went to the Japanese gardens, and it was like, wow, I thought this was huge. And it wasn't that huge. Wasn't that huge? Our perspective is so different. And as this priest was pointing out, so we have this idea that, you know, we come out, just our greetings. Oh, it's great. And he said he spoke Polish. He's part Polish and he speaks Polish fluently. And he said, yeah, someone else from Poland. How are you? And they will tell you something very melancholy and very sad. Or he talked about how in, I think it was China, but I've heard the same thing about in Korea. My daughter-in-law is studying a lot of Korean, that the first thing they'll ask you is, did you eat? Because starvation was so much a part of their culture. So where you come from and what your mindset is kind of puts you in this mode. So somehow, culturally, we're at a place, and maybe even globally, where it is not just consumption and consumerism, but we have to teach and write books and buy books, our hard-earned money. You may work an hour or 2 hours at McDonald's in order to buy a book about how you should be grateful. How you should express gratitude, why it's important to find gratitude. We take thousands and thousands of dollars, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars of research money to look at people's brains when they're grateful. Like, oh, let's look at this weird alien. Did you guys see that big sea monster that I saw it on Yahoo, but that big sea monster thing that came up in the Philippines, this weird kind of like squid looking thing that was huge and had all this hair and fur. It was just the weirdest looking thing. And they had some guy trying to cut into it. It washed up on shore. So it's like we do that with our own brains. Oh, let's look inside. See, look what happens. Something lights up weirdly when you have gratitude. It's like we're looking like Frankenstein's monsters. Like it's so unusual to us. We're like cocking our heads like we're one of the aliens that beamed us up to look inside of us to see what makes us tick. But we're going to revisit this on the other side of the break. I'm also going to give you a lesson from an angel, actually a stranger who happened to be an angel on the plane that I met, and more and more and more. See you on the other side of the break, 573-4BREAD-4. I am Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you're with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can email DM live at breadboxmedia.com. You can also log on to breadboxmedia.com, scroll over, and you can become a friend of the show. So if you like what you hear, you can become a friend of the show. Pretty awesome. Now, oh, wait, one other thing. You can also go to the archives and find just about any subject from pornography to Barbie dolls and spirituality and what to do. I think last year there was a Lenten fast. Just so many things. There's no subject that is untouched. So if you want it, you let me know. DM live at breadboxmedia.com or text at 573-4BREAD-4, or you can call 573-4BREAD-4. Gratitude being taught. We have to prove to ourselves. Craziest thing. We have to prove to ourselves that gratitude's a good thing. It's like, what happened? What happened? We have sorrows. As I was talking about the priest, who I did not look up, by the way, I had to go get my phone charger. But as I was talking about the priest, who really impressed me, he was talking about hope. And but the way he mentioned that, because he obviously has traveled all over, he's fluent in other languages. He had a Polish mother, I think, or grandmother or something. And he talked about the different experiences as a culture, the fact that the culture around that person, that from which that person sprang, formed everything. Did you come from famine and starvation? Your greeting is different than if you came from ice and cold, and or if you came from the heat, if you came from plenty. I mean, sometimes our greetings are, I remember going to school in Iowa, and I remember that some of the greetings, I mean, literally the greetings of people, strangers in a grocery store, how about them Hawks? And I wondered, what do you mean, how about them Hawks? There's so many things I learned in Iowa. You'd think, what are you going to learn in Iowa? I learned so much. But how about them Hawks? And I had no clue of what that meant. But hey, how about them Hawks? And I'd say, well, I guess they're flat fine. Well, it's the Hawkeyes. It was a sports group. And you know what? I still don't even know. Is it football? Everybody's going to probably bombard me with, are you kidding me? But yes, the Hawkeyes. So it was, how about them Hawks? So other parts, it was like, did you eat? Or sure is hot outside. Depends on where you are. Surf's up. You know, it's things that we just don't think about. And as a matter of fact, which I was blown away by in the twist of events, you'll see what I'm talking about in a second. Way back in, like, I think high school, grade school, somewhere in there, we're looking at standardized testing. We're looking at intelligence test, right? And one of the, in psychology, I guess it was, or psychiatry, psychology or social sciences. The whole concept was these standardized tests, then being the SATs and those little, I forgot what they were. You had them all the time. You had those little colorful booklets and you had to go through each one. That they were unfair. And they were unfair to test, maybe they were intelligence tests, to test where a person was, because if you were talking about galoshes and you lived in Arizona, you're not going to know what galoshes are. Likewise, if you are in an inner city ghetto in New York, you're probably not going to be familiar with skateboarding in a desert. You know, it's the same. You're just not going to have the same cultural experiences. So if you're from, let's say, Southern California, you're from somewhere in Florida, and you're used to big salad bowls made out of wood and all that, and it's never going to dawn on you that that's normal, because that's not your experience when you're up in New England and you have all the handcrafted pottery. It's just not going to make sense to you. So if you ask these questions, you're going to get marked off. My famous one I tell you about all the time is my own child, who happens to be extremely accomplished with several degrees and a great musician, and travels the world for his job, and which is quite remarkable. And if they were going to put him in special ed because he was answering all the intelligence tests to get into kindergarten. So to get into kindergarten, he was answering all the tests wrong. He would answer things like, oh, to dance, you need two people, right? Or instead of, but the right answer was you need music. Well, the right answer, according to the person who made the test. I'm telling you all this for a reason. He did draw the man test, and he failed that. Why? Because he didn't draw hair and he didn't draw a neck on a man. So he must obviously not be very advanced in his interpretive skills and his eye-hand coordination. And then I dragged his father in there, not really dragged him, but I said, hey, this is the man he's drawing. And here was a man who was completely bald, shaved his head, and had a big, long ZZ Top beard. And you couldn't see his neck. So to my son, that was a man. No hair, no neck. So here we are now, all these years later, where we should have known better. And I'm watching my daughter-in-law and her friends all have these standards and fighting against them even now. She's fighting against them even now because she knows her daughter is different. And her daughter is learning, because in the household they speak three languages and they're very eclectic. And she's not up to the standards of where she should be of a monolingual child in the United States of America. So everyone's looking at her like, well, maybe she's on the autistic spectrum. Well, she's not on the autistic spectrum. She's just in a household where Spanish might be spoken all day long. Korean might be spoken with Korean music and Korean television, and English is spoken. I mean, it's all spoken interchangeably all day long. So it depends on where you get her. The whole point of this is that we come from a place where things flip-flop all the time. Now, if a person, the story, the most recent story out of the little group of friends is that a woman had her daughter tested and she's like two. And because she answered an unusual answer, she's being given high points. So in other words, where all the years prior, when my son answered the question to dance, you need two people and the quote, right, unquote, music, what answer was music. If you now answer two people, you're considered advanced. So it's like, well, where are we? So all this is going to revolve around to where you're going to be inside of you. How do you get your grounding? How do you not be that person who has to be an alien looking inside your own brain to figure out if you're supposed to be grateful or not? How do I do that? This is really, really fundamental stuff. And I don't have a grasp on it. I can tell you, if I had a little refresher, how the kidney worked. Down to the chemicals, down to the reactions, down to the acid base. But I can't necessarily tell you what causes me not to wake up every day and say, this is the most amazing. I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe there's a flower. I can't believe that snail does that. I can't believe that snail does that. And yeah, anything could become a pestilence. You don't want to, you know, I'm not going to ponder a rat for very long. I might for a second, but if there were 50 of them around me, I would probably be really creeped out. So we have these ideas of what happens when imbalance. Nature teaches us to Job 12:7, ask the animals, they will tell you, the birds of the sea, the fish of the sea will speak to you, the birds will teach you, the earth, everything was going to tell you what God did, that God is just God. And it's and every way that anything in front of you moves and is and reacts is going to teach you about where you are and you, the person who are wearing the clothes of you right now. You don't need, we should not need to have to dissect ourselves like aliens in a lab, you know, just abducting us from our beds at night to try to take open our brains to figure out why in the world, where we find gratitude. It's cool because we've lost so much. So it's kind of cool that we have to come back through the back door. And that's too bad, but it's also cool. See how God works? In some ways, many of the things we've lost, now we have to have people dissecting us to say why it's important. Like some of us go, well, duh, of course it's important. Just look at any child, you know, they'll tell you. But we lose it. But see how even in our craziness, we have the ability, God has the ability to keep it moving. We're here for his glory. So if we lose something along the way, someone else is going to find it. They may have to remind us about it. We may have to go through the back door and find out why these things are healthy and then try to convince you about it. But we are dynamic beings and we are going to heal. We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break, as well as an angel on the plane. I will see you. This is Dr. Michelle. Get your coffee. See you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You are listening to Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4. 573-4BREAD-4. So gratitude and waking up and having almost an out of body experience. That's what it takes. It takes an out of body experience. And isn't that what prayer is? Isn't that what contemplative prayer is? An out of body experience. Transported, transformed, transfigured. And even though we may feel everything in our body, we may feel the relaxation, we may feel almost a tingling, we may feel certain things, and then we might be flooded with thoughts and sadnesses and things like that. But we need these out-of-body experiences. We were born for these out-of-body experiences. We were born. I mean, think about us being born. Think about it. How likely is it really? Really? I mean, it's just, I know it's like everywhere. It's like everything in life seems to be a paradox and a dichotomy, is that it's everywhere and it's nowhere all the same. It's as common as common, because there's nothing here that wasn't created by the thing before it. Co-created by the thing before it. We don't just look out our window one day and have all these weird blobby purple things sticking up and making funny sounds. You know, it's something otherworldly. And then the next day it's something different. The flowers that came here came from a seed that came from the flowers before, the hybrid over time. It's an amazing self-generating situation. It's mind boggling. And yet we never take the, you know, if I were listening to me, I'd be going, oh, really? Of course, duh. Didn't you kind of go through that when you were 2 or 15 or in college? Maybe a little bit of too much alcohol or something. No, this should always be. It should always be. Be as little children. Be completely blown away with a bubble. Be completely blown away with the sound of your own voice, with the openness and with what you have been given. What you have been given. I'm reminded of just about everybody I've known, except the little ones, who, as they're reaching the ends of their lives, usually the ones that are premature, what we would consider premature, they look around and they see what they never saw before. As my brother said, I see there's a gem under every single rock. Things I've never seen before. And so many people go back and, why didn't I know? Why did it take me so long? I've had those experiences myself where I've walked in place I've walked before and thought, I didn't know what I had. And I didn't have anything as far as material goods, but I had things far more important than that. I didn't know what I had. And we tend to like put ourselves in endless beating ourselves up, but that's not going to help anything. So we go back to the concept of gratitude. So, all right. So I want to tell you, first, you know, the other day I told you I was going to read some of the beautiful words that Beethoven wrote in this Christus Albergé. I don't know how to say it because that sounds like I'm pretending to speak French and it's in German, so I have no idea how it's called. But it's basically Jesus in the Mount of Olives. And it is Opus 85. It's something I really am new to, and I was just blown away. It's absolutely beautiful, and it's the Passion of Jesus. And if you don't know it, what a perfect time, because day after tomorrow, Ash Wednesday. And there's this place where Jesus is speaking, and the angel that is holding him up is also weighing in, which is an amazing thing all in itself. And so Jesus, I can't read you the whole thing. It's too long, but, cause it's like 50 minutes. So, and I'd have to sing it and that wouldn't work good. But in this one aria where he says, Jehovah, thou my Father, as thou hast power, give me strength to bear. Now in this hour, sorrowful is my grief. I have glorified thee even before thy command. From chaos the world was formed. The voices of thy seraphs now thunder, commanding him who dies for men alone to stand before thy judgment seat. O Father, I will appear at his call to intercede with thee, to atone, I alone, for guilty man. How can this feeble race from dust it created ever know the feeling that I, thy only son, must now endure? Ah, see the pangs that throb my heart. My soul is faint, my Father. See how my heart does throb. Oh, pity me. My whole soul within me trembles from the torture drawing near. Oh, behold me, see me tremble. See the pain that fills my soul, how my heart is full of sorrow with the thought of deathly pain, drops of blood and sweat of torment from my forehead like fall like rain. Father, O glorify me with the glory that is thine and the power. If thou art willing, take away this cup from me. And then the angel spoke. This is Jehovah's son. Behold him. In the earth he lies, for his father now hath left him enduring terrible sorrow. The Holy One has now prepared to die a bitter death for sinners, a willing Savior to save a cruel world to a life everlasting. Thus man lives eternally. Prize the Redeemer's goodness. All men prize his grace. He dies in loving kindness to save your guilty race. Oh, praise him, great Redeemer, your Savior sacrificed. To man he brings salvation through faith with hope of life. To those dishonoring his sacrifice of blood, God shall condemn them all. His judgment is their lot. And it goes back to Jesus. Abba, my Father, O declare, take away in this hour all my fear. Nevertheless, not that I will, but thine. And then the angel speaks again. So spake Jehovah. The curse remains on man until atonement is made by shedding blood. The law must be fulfilled, or man is lost. For when this debt is paid, man will live forever. And then Jesus and the angel sing together. On me then falls this heavy burden. Oh, its weight, O Father, help me bear. On me now falls the weight of anguish, if thou will mankind children spare. Behold the Savior, how he trembles with what heavy sorrows he sustains. His weighty burdens fall upon him, a world of grief and heavy pains. Though great the pain, the grief, the terror from God's own justice on him hurled, yet greater far the love and mercy all used to save a woeful word. And then Jesus says, O welcome death, which I must suffer for man's salvation on the cross. O ye who in cold graves are sleeping in eternal sleep, deep in the grasp holds fast, henceforth awake to joy and bliss awakened. And then they go on to the soldier. So a man, Ludwig von Beethoven, we talk about him. We talk about his genius. We can sit and listen to it. We can be transformed and transfigured and transported, as I said in prayer, out of body experience by anything this man did. you can read things about him. You can talk in, you know, lofty little armchairs and discuss. But here's a man who knew early on that if he did not live for his gift, that he wouldn't be living rightly. And in one of the letters he wrote from the asylum where he was hoping to get some cure, not just for his deafness, but he also, I think, was having liver failure or something, some illness. And he was promised it would help, and it didn't. And he said somewhere in that whole letter that, look at what I wasted this time. I feel resentful almost. I'm paraphrasing, because look what I could have written in this time. So there's an urgency that he's calling us forth. He writes this stuff, this beautiful stuff, this man who drank a little bit too much evidently and had his own demons and his own problems and his own temptations. And then, of course, he was deaf. I mean, really? And yet he's writing this. He didn't just write this. It's not just a poem. He wrote the aria. He wrote, you know, and I can't even get myself to, you know, write a paragraph. So when we come back, I want to look at something that the angel said to me on the plane that will help all of us get a word and make this the most awesome Lent we are ever going to have. I am Dr. Michelle. See you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4-BREAD-4. Oh, 573-4-BREAD-4. Oh, man, we're walking into Lent. We're walking into Lent. I want to get this thing for you because, this is going to be, let me find it first. Oh my, should have found it during the break and I didn't. Here we go. There we go. All right. So there we go. All right. This is going to be cool. So, reading this Beethoven, thinking about wasted moments and actually in the break, why did I not find the thing I want to read you? Because I had been checking into something I was really excited about. And I'd seen this thing for a while. I was thinking about it. It just made all the perfect sense. It was like perfect. And I, you know, time went by and then something happened. Then I got sick and then my dad got sick and this happened and on. So I looked into it a little further and all excited, and it's still out there and just thinking this is just perfect. And I just now got it just right. I heard the little bing and it's gone. And it's one of those things. It's like, oh, if I just had jumped on it, you know, and it's true. There are so many things in life for us procrastinators. I am the biggest procrastinator you ever want to know. I can procrastinate procrastination. It's that bad. And there are certain lessons I never learn. I'm always still. Every time now I'm getting 10 and 15 minutes later because I can't find a shoe. That happened to me yesterday. I keep going back to 14 years ago when I was late for a very important meeting because I couldn't find a sock. And I was telling myself, how hard is it? The entire world is organized. What is going on with you? And so here I am still doing that very same, very trite thing, but it's there. So not lessons in there, I guess, for all of us. So yes, I'm disappointed right now. I am totally disappointed. And here I'm telling you, look, I'm breathing. Look at the rain is going. There's a snail outside. I saw it. There are flowers right in front of me. Right now I'm living in a place where the flowers are still growing, and you know, it's okay. And to trust. And I heard someone saying yesterday, that it was, that's another country Western song. I don't know why I'm just on that kick. But it's, I guess, I think it's a newer song, or maybe it's an older song, but it was about being sorry. There, because somebody was talking to God. I can't remember if it was a guy or a girl. And saying, you know, I'm sorry that I didn't trust you. I'm sorry that I didn't trust you when I didn't get that, whatever it was. And that I did, because I didn't have the foresight to see that you had something completely different planned for me. And I didn't trust that you actually had something that was going to be what you needed me to be. You needed me in that position. You need to rally me in that position. I've had many of those recently where things are very disappointing. Things that I thought, hey, this is really, this, all signals seem like everything was going fine. And then boom, it's not. And it's like, okay, but I'm positioned in a place. I learned something. And so in reading this thing with Beethoven that I just read to you, it just boggles. It is not only so beautiful, it is so, what is he writing about? Is he writing about Christ's passion? What do we go through every single year? Christ's passion. What happened 2,000 years ago? Christ's passion. We are reliving it, rejoining it, learning from it, changing our ways, honoring his ways every single year for 2,000 years. Mozart, Handel, Beethoven, Christian, contemporary Christian. They're still writing about it. Still writing about Gethsemane. Still writing about take this cup, if you will, but not my will, your will be done. We're still writing about that. So I'm on this plane coming back from seeing my father, and I need to ask Alex how much time I have. This is my last segment. So Alex, if you're listening, how much time do I have? I think he's going to tell me. Oh, good. I have enough time to tell you this story. Thank you, Alex. So I get on the plane and, you know, it's one of those things. This is going to be about what's intuition? What is just a nudging? What is urging? When do you follow? I don't have answers, but I will tell you, I have experience. After a while, when you start realizing that it really is real, that you really do have different experiences. Some people can just call it, you know, unplanned impulsiveness or whatever they want, but there, you know this, you've had it. You just get a feel. It's not even a feeling like you're really that enamored with it. You just kind of like, something doesn't feel right. You feel like your shoes are too tight or something, and you just move somewhere, and that opens up a whole new door. So I'm getting to my plane on time, which is shocking, and get on the plane. And I'm one of the first people on. And so I had my pick of where to sit, and I've been talking to someone in line. And so I sat kind of across the aisle, both having aisle seats and thinking we would carry on our conversation, but I didn't want to sit there, and not because of the person. I just had this kind of like, I don't know why. I was like, this doesn't feel right. Like, it just felt like it was wrong. It just felt not morally wrong or emotionally wrong, but like physically wrong. Like it was irritating or something. It was the weirdest feeling. And so I thought, well, you know, this is kind of odd. It's like, what's the difference 3 feet that way, you know, to the right? But I wanted to be on the other side of the aisle. for some reason. And so the woman that was sitting in the aisle seat on the other side of the aisle just spontaneously got up and moved to the window. And the flight was going to be full, but we were the early ones. And so she gets by the window and I say, hey, are you sitting by the window? She said, yeah. I said, I think I'm going to move there. So I moved to the aisle seat. And so the plane's filling up. And this gentleman comes in and says, hey, can I take that middle seat? So we go through the 4 hours of just flying, and I'm flipping through whatever I'm flipping through on the book, and a book that I was reading on Kindle, and I don't have clue one how we started talking. I think the woman by the window needed to use the bathroom, and I don't even know what we started talking about. And we were almost finished with our flight, but we started talking, and this gentleman was just a very sweet, kind, unassuming gentleman, just a true gentleman. And I don't know, we were talking about this and that, and we got talking about, I think, you know, like getting a cold or something. And then I don't know how it came about, but we started talking about, I asked him why he was there, because he was going back to his home on the West Coast. And he was a musician and had a job, and that's what he did. He has been in the music business for a very long time at a very high level. And so we were discussing that and talking and this and that. And he happened to mention, I don't know how we got onto following, you know, your instincts or whatever. And he happened to mention that he dreamt songs and pieces that he would wake up with fully completed pieces in his head. His composer. Sometimes he would wake up and the page and the written music on it. As if God said, you know what, I've put these in your head and sometimes you forget them. So here's the page. I mean, it just, I was just blown away. And when I said, you know, I would really like to hear, you know, and then he mentioned, he said, well, you know, what did you do with these things? He said, well, I would write them down. And he said, and then one day I decided to collect them all and put them on a CD and then put them out in an MP3. And they're just from my dreams. And I said, I need to hear this. I want to hear this. And he took my email address. And most of the time, you know, the strangers on the plane, you usually don't connect with the person. Well, he sends them to me. I was blown away. I was absolutely blown away. Totally beautiful. And I wrote back to him and told him, thank you. And that we wrote a couple little emails back and forth. And so I was telling him how I experienced, there was like 10 songs, experienced them. And I also wondered about what he had seen. Well, I'm going to read this. I only got a minute left. And I want you to take this until tomorrow. In his letter, he says, I find there's a certain responsibility with creative gifts, as the music often arrives at its own time. It must be written down and kept alive at the moment it arises, or else it can go stale. The inspiration or flow may become blocked if you don't get it out in the moment. So the responsibility is to set aside everything, including pressing duty or work, and listen to the muse when the muse speaks. It can be quite inconvenient at times. So that is a message that angel gave to me. I needed to hear it, but you need to hear it too. Whether your muse is about music or just about waking up grateful. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.